Hi. Oh, wow. It's so loud. Good afternoon, SIF. Happy Palm Sunday. Anybody happy to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, that is awesome. Wow. Indeed, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Not that we will run away from his house, so that we will dwell. So that we will dwell. The purpose of the goodness is so that we can dwell. Hallelujah. All right, so I wanted to say something. Oh, anyway. All right. Yeah. I thought I've said something. Good to have all of you. I'm Kingsley and I'm a member of SIF. And I love Jesus just like you. Amen. All right, so we've been on a series as a church about Easter. I'm trying to find everybody's face. Anyways, so yeah, so we've been on this series that we're trying to sort of remind ourselves about the reason for our faith. Paul said, if in this life we believe in Christ, then our faith is very futile. But thanks be to God that he rose again. And so it's important that as a church, we kind of remind ourselves day in, day out about why we place our faith in him. And we've been talking about Easter people. So basically talking about the characters or people that have been part of the ultimate story is about Christ himself, isn't it? But it's so amazing that God will allow us to be part of that story, weaving people with all the doubts, all the questions, all the things that you can think, all the flaws. But yet, he allowed all of those flaws, doubts, confusions to be part of his story. And so we taught as a church to remind ourselves again that he who called us is faithful. Amen. All right, before we just jump in, I want to just test you guys and see if you've been following us. Oh, you've been, yeah. Okay, so today, anybody want to take a guess who we are going to talk about? Let me give you the map. So this person that we'll be talking about, initially, or not initially, what was the English? His hometown is Bethsaida. That's where he comes from. But who? John the Baptist. Well, okay. I will hold on to your answer. Okay, John the Baptist. Okay. Anyone want to even? Okay. So he was in Bethsaida, but then he, just like us, some of us from different part of the world and are in Suzhou, so he moved to Capernaum, right? So he was there living, loving, and leading like Jesus, I suppose. Yeah, so anybody want to take a guess who this person is going to be? John, anybody? Vince? Peter? I heard Jojo saying something. Joseph. All right, let's see. So Peter, John, Joseph. Okay, let's see. Oh, now you know who is that. It's Peter. So Vince, you're right. Yes, Pete. It's Peter. Yes. So we're going to be talking about Peter. And there's a lot to talk about Peter. All right, but I have a few minutes to do that. So I try to focus on what I felt as I was preparing. I felt the Lord want to share with us. All right, so apologies if I don't cover everything. Yeah, but then as the Lord has shown me, I think that's what I will try to work on. Okay, there will not be any more pictures, but there'll be a lot of scriptures for us, and I'm challenging you to for us to read scriptures. So I'm sorry if there are no more pictures. I wish I have more pictures, but it's a disclaimer. Okay. All right, so before we, what else I want to tell you about Peter? Okay, just, yeah, and we all know that something, he did something right. Everybody talk about that a lot. He denied the Lord. I don't know you, right? So we'll be talking about Peter and trying to see what God wants us to learn from his story, because Bible says those things, these things that are written for our learning so that we, by patience and forbearance, we could inherit the promises. All right. So come, I mean, in your mind, let's pray together. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you more and more. Jesus, Jesus. You know that song, right? You want to sing it? Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Father, we have come not unto man. We have come to you, God. Lord, we thank you that your word is is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide bones and marrow. It's able to pierce spirit and soul, oh God. And so, Lord, as we come to you, oh God, may your word come forth. Speak to us. Touch us, oh God. Renew our mind. Cause us to draw nearer unto you, oh God, that we may continue to place our trust and our faith in you, Father. Lord God, speak to us. May Jesus be exalted in your name. Amen. So let's take a scripture. So Peter was one of the disciples that was called. One of the 12, if you will, among the first that was called by Jesus himself. He was a fisherman. He was okay with his life, I suppose. Gainfully employed, enjoying his fishing. But there was a call that came. Jesus called him. And just like Peter, all of us are called. All of us are called. There's a call on your life. There's a call on my life. There's a call on the life of your children. Peter was called. It says that as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their net and followed him. At once, they left their net and followed him without thinking about, wait a minute, Jesus, you know, if I leave this, how about tomorrow? At once. At once. Now, this is not against us planning for the future. But I think that word at once there speaks more of we being available. Are you available? Are you available? It's serving him. Are you making time for him? I'm not saying leave your job as a professor in a university. If you don't feel called that way, then please continue to teach. But are you making time for him? At once, Peter followed. Are you following? Again, the next day, now the gospel, the four of them have talked about Peter, how he was called, but John, at times, I mean, Luke, and all of that. So we'll see it. So I want to highlight something here from John. So John telling this story of the call of the disciples of Christ, put it this way. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the two disciples of John, I suppose he heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked, now I put in the Greek word, emblepo. Any Greek person here? Emblepo. When Jesus emblepo him, looked. There is a deeper meaning to that, and I will talk about that later. But keep note, when Jesus looked, it was not just any kind of look okay, hello, Peter. No, it was a look of, I know you, Peter. I know you are not even called by your name yet. You are just being called Simon. It was a look of, I know you. Emblepo. So when Jesus emblepo him, looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas or Cephas. Which one? Matthew, is it Cephas or Cephas? Okay, Cephas, I would call it that way. Which is translated rock or stone. Okay? Translated rock. So here, I want you to keep this emblepo in mind. Okay? We will come back to that emblepo. Look. So Peter was called, just like all of us. But look at what Jesus said. He said, you are Simon. You shall be. So maybe you are here today and thinking, I am just a failure. I am just always making a mistake. I am just not faithful. I am just. But Jesus said, you shall be. You shall be. And I want us to let this sink in. Jesus calls us as we are. But he already sees us as we already are in him. He knows who we are in him. That is why he calls us to transform us, to sanctify us. So I don't know how you see yourself, but Jesus said, you shall be. And whatever Jesus said you shall be, you better believe. Because if you yield yourself enough, if you submit to him, he will make you to become who you really are. Look at this verse. It says, so from now on, Paul speaking here, from now on, we regard no one according to the worldly view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Why? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. I may not know your story, but Jesus knows your story. And Jesus said, that old self that you think you are, Jesus said, you shall be. Avail yourself to him. I remember giving my life to Christ as a bitter guy. Now you don't see that. Every day, Kingsley's. No, I wasn't like that. For some reason, I don't know why. But over time, God, I cannot tell you how long it took. But God. Now, like Paul said, not that I have already apprehended, but I continue. I see that I could laugh. I said, really? For nothing. I could have joy. I don't know how that happened. And I'll be lying to tell you, oh, within 4 years, that is not true. I don't know how. But all I knew was anytime those thoughts and intentions come, I submit to him. And he has been doing the work. I'm sure he's doing that in you as well. You may think that you are this, but God is saying you shall be. He sees you as who you are in him. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The message of Easter is a message. The message of his resurrection is a message of us returning back to the Father. But we all with unveiled faces. I love this. Beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Beholding such his word. Spend time in his word. Get together in fellowship. Let the word of God sanctify you. Now, I'm not saying all of that to mean that then there will be no challenges. Time will not allow me to tell you some of mine as well. But God is still faithful. He sees you as you already are in him. You are, but you shall be. Then there was a confession. Peter is known in, according to the commentaries that I've read, there's a lot on Peter, right? He's always asking questions, the first guy to say things. there's a whole lot about Peter. He speaks enough to express himself, maybe just like some of us. He likes to express himself as quickly as he can. You know, he always wants to speak. He always wants to do that. So there was a time where Jesus not summoned them. They had a nice time together doing fellowship and all of that. They came back and Jesus asked them a question. Who do people say I am? So let's read the scriptures. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say you are John Baptist, others say you are Elijah, others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? That question was asked 2,000 years ago, but it's still relevant. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Peter's response says, Peter, of course, he replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm sure he did that. I'm sure he was. No, I'm kidding. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, and said him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, before I expound on this, I want us to not go, that is not the focus for today. Another day we can preach, there is a controversy in the commentary about whether Jesus saying on this rock refers to Peter, or whether Jesus meant that the rock, the knowledge that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. Now, some schools of thought have the view that since it's only Matthew that mentioned this, perhaps it does not necessarily refer to Peter per se. In fact, the church that is used here in the Greek, it's not like the ecclesiastical like this. It was more like a fellowship, so a community of people. So there is a division. So I just want to clarify that there is that school of thought that, you know, it was on Peter, it was not on Peter. But whatever the case is, the truth of the matter is, it is Christ that builds the church, and the church is on Christ. All right, so here, what I want to draw our attention to is Peter's confession. Who is Jesus to you? You must say, Abba Kingsley, if Jesus is nobody to me, why am I here? I know that. But you see, it's easy for us when everything is all good to say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. But this question is not just about the proclamation of it, is about the daily living of it. Who is the Lord to you at your workplace, in your family, in your daily walk? Who is Jesus? Is it the Lord of all or the Lord of something? He is the Christ, the Son of God. I pray that he is the Christ, the Son of God, all over every area of our lives. Now, Peter, so I'm going somewhere. He was called, he confessed Christ, and then a rebuke, really. I thought Peter just declared that Jesus is the Son, so he knows everything, isn't it? Apparently not so. Check this out. Matthew, now we come to Matthew again. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders, from the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter, always have that edge on him, want to speak first, want to get things done, and all of that. He's an active guy, active person. He served. So Peter took him aside and said, no, Lord. Actually, he didn't said, no, but here we go. He said, he took him aside and began to rebuke the Lord, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But the Lord turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Oh, Lord, but he just called you the Christ, the Son of the living God. Interesting, isn't it? So you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Now it's quick to say, yeah, Peter again. Yeah, he got it wrong again. No, but had Peter not said this, look at these beautiful words. If anyone will come to follow me. It was Peter's questionings. It was Peter's uncertainties, always fluctuating, volatility. You know, I'm okay, do economics. So fluctuating, this type of made him, when I read through his life, I noticed, wow, every questions that he asks, the answers that he gets are profound, that became a learning point for all of us today. The Lord told him that if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. I know these are heavy words. This days is not popular, but it's in the Bible. So I'm not trying to make things up. It's in the Bible that we are to lose our life to find it. Really? Lose and find? That's contradictory, right? No, actually, what you think or what we think is our life, that is the who we are, but who we shall be is in him. It is in that which we think we have, everything is under control. But the Lord is challenging us. Perhaps losing our life here, to some of us, it's not like go and say, okay, Lord said I lose my life, kill me. No. That is not what it is. You know, that one thing that you want to always have control over. You know it. I know mine. You know that area that you want to always be in charge of. You know, I know mine. Are you losing that to him? Letting him take over. Take charge of that. The Lord, that I may find you. I don't know about you. But it is in losing that we find life. Peter may have be setting his mind on earthly things. But because of that, we hear this from the Lord, that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? His questions, I love these parts, and doubts. Last week, Nathan gave us a very excellent word on Thomas. When I went through again, I said, wow, this could be said of all of them, isn't it? Yes, obviously, Thomas was the one who said, but all of them have doubts. All of them have uncertainties. All of them have questions. All of them were absent at some point in time. Peter, even with the revelations that Jesus said, "You, this is not revealed to you by man, but my Father," even with all of that, still have doubts, uncertainties. Questions, hesitations. I do. I don't know about you, but I do. I ask the Lord, what's going on? I don't know what's going on, Lord. I just don't know. Well, may Peter's message encourage you that he did not call those that do not have doubt. He called us, even those of us who have doubt. even those of us who have questions. Let's go through some of his questions. Well, Peter came up and said to him, this one I was like, whoa. He said, Lord, how often will my brother, I'm sure maybe one of his brothers piss him off, I'm kidding. But he said, Lord, how often? No, this was when Jesus was telling them about forgiveness, actually. So Peter came and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him as many as seven times? Oh, okay. Jesus said, I don't know. I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. Another question. Then Peter said in reply, another verse actually, Matthew 19. See, we have left everything. This is Peter. See, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What then we will have? In other words, well, what is our gain in this? You know, what is my lot in this? Peter, I want to know. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on the glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It went on and on, Jesus saying that you, if you lose houses and parents, you have even in this life, but the last shall be the first shall be, it went on. But I want you to keep this in mind. Anytime Peter questions, Jesus always answers. That was amazing to me. Anytime Peter questioned, Jesus answered. What does that tell you? God is never afraid of your questions. God is never afraid of your doubt. God is never afraid of your time of not sure, not being sure. What God wants is you asking him. Are you asking him? Are you bringing that before him? Are you pouring it out before him? Anytime Peter speaks, Jesus answered. Now you may say, by Kingsley, this is easy because they are both together. Why will he not answer? Hold on a second. Okay. Now let's go on. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this? So Jesus was telling them a parable. Then Peter, after he finished, Peter said, Lord, is that to us or to them? You know, always have all these questions asking. So he asked the Lord, whether this, but I want you to see again, the Lord answered him, who then is faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food, allowance at the proper time. Another question again in John 13, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, so this is when they finished the supper, the Lord gathered his loin with the towel, want to wash their feet. This is their story. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I'm sure he made his face like, are you going to wash my feet? Really? Jesus replied, you don't realize it yet. You do not realize now what I'm doing. But later you understand. Peter said, no, Lord. You shall never wash my feet. Wow. Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Peter again replied, in that case, he did not say that. I'm guessing here, you know. He's like, then in that case, Lord, well, don't just wash my feet, but wash my whole body as well. It's interesting, Peter. I was reading, I said, Lord, I was like, whoa. I read it before, but when I was reading it preparing, I said, this Peter is quite interesting. He said, in that case, okay, you want to wash, then wash everything. Anyway, Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Do you see that? The patience in the Lord's response to Peter's time of uncertainties and fluctuations, there's that patience you can see in the Lord's. The Lord is not, it's not like, Peter, I'm done with you. It's enough. I'm a parent. Sometimes Esther has a lot of questions. I'm like, okay, Esther, shh, enough. You know, but the Lord did not do that. The Lord is looking at him and thinking, oh, this. The Lord didn't do that. Sometimes because Esther is asking my question, I give her a book. Okay, you read something, okay? But the Lord didn't do that. There is patience. There is responsiveness from the Lord to Peter. Anytime Peter have, because the Lord knows that you and I today will be reading that and finding comfort and hope in these stories. The Lord was so patient with Peter. The Lord answered all his questions. Now, remember I told you, you were like, but because they were together, how about me? The Lord is already in heaven. How can he answer me? How about this? Before that, the learning point is our questions, our doubt, our fluctuations, uncertainties, concerns should draw us to him. They should not lead us away, but they should draw us to him, because it is only in him where we don't find any contradictions, uncertainty. Remember, the scriptures tells us in Romans 10, and scripture says that anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on his name. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, not only Peter, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you calling on his name? Therefore, since we have a great high priest. You said he's in heaven? Yes, I agree. Scripture says, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Brothers, sisters, no excuse. God is inviting us with our doubt, with our questions, to his throne of grace. He will answer us because his word says so. I'm running on time here. His bold declaration. Remember when Jesus was telling them that on account of me, you will fall away. Peter said, no, not me. Lord said, it is written. It is written. It is written. According to scriptures, they will strike the shepherd and the sheep. But Peter said, not me. Even if all of them left, I will stay with you. I was careful not to call Peter a confidence or any other name here. Why? Because Peter's fall or their failing, Jesus tell us why. Jesus said, because of him. Because of Jesus, that's why they will fall away. So I am careful not to say he was a coward. Well, we can say that he boasted, yet I'm full on that one. Or it was on account of the Lord. If the Lord did not impute it unto them, then who am I? It was on account of the Lord that they fell away. And so maybe you're serving in this church. Maybe you've been a Christian. Maybe you has led to some things that are happening around you, and you are thinking, man, can I just do it my way? I want to break some legs and all of that. Remember, it's not because of you, because of a light that is shining in you and through you. Give him the honor. Give him the glory. Let the Lord lead. Now, I'm not saying that if the Lord directs you to clear something, you shouldn't do that. I'm saying when a situation looks like it's where it doesn't, you don't even know how to go about it, then submit to the Lord first. It was on account of the Lord that Peter will be denying him. So here I'll be drawing to the close soon. The denial was captured in all the four Gospels. I mean, a bit different degrees or lenses that each of them were using. But I want to present Luke's one here. Luke said, then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following in a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, you know, he went on, and then let's see here. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man is with him." But Peter denied. So let's jump to the third one. But Peter said, so the third one again, there's a third, but so let's read from, but Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and emblepo him. The same look that he used when he first met Peter is the same, a Greek word, emblepo. It was not a look like, "Ah, I told you so. You see, I told you, you cannot." No, the Lord did not look at Peter to sort of like, "I told you so." No, that was not the look. The Greek tells us that the look was the same loving look that "I know you." What does that tell you? It tells you that even in your failure, in my failure, his look is the same. His love is the same. His faithfulness is the same. And he will uphold you. He look at him the same way he looked at him at first. He needn't change. There is no shadow of changing in the Lord. May you be encouraged, even in your trials, to know that he is looking on you and he knows you. Here, I just want to tell you something brief. I want to challenge you here to read John's account. It's amazing. John presented the denier and Jesus answering in a way that is so beautiful. When I look at my scriptures, I think it's the same. He first of all presented Peter's first denier, and then after that he stopped and talk about Jesus's response to the high priest about the disciples. Now what happens in John is that whilst Peter was being questioned by a lady, Jesus was also being questioned by a high priest. Whilst Peter was denying Christ, Jesus was affirming them, because the question about Jesus was about his disciples. So even in our unfaithfulness, God is still faithful. Now, that shouldn't mean that you will go about and say, "Oh, God is faithful. I would. No, that's not the point. The point is, because of his faithfulness, it is his goodness that leads us into repentance. I am not preaching a licentious message. I am saying that it's the Lord's goodness that leads us, that draws us, knowing that he is faithful. You can come back to him. I want to end by saying, Bible tells us that Peter remembered what the Lord told him. I want to end by telling us that we are not changed by how many promises we make to God. We are changed by remembering and believing in the promises that he made to us. It is not your promise that changes you. It is his promise to you that changes you. Believe in his promise. Pray his promises. Trust in his word. Because the word tells us that Peter himself told us this. He said, after he was restored, he said, "By which we have been given an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through them, through the promises, we may become partakers." It is in the promise of God that we have been transformed. His promise is what sustains us, not your promise to him. Now, am I saying you should not serve him? Serve him for all you want. Pour out to him for all, you know, make, you know, commitment to do that, but I am saying what transforms us is the Lord's promise unto us, his promises. Now, finally, even with all those vacillation, volatility, when the Lord resurrected, Mary, Silas gave us a message on that as well, when they told the disciples, Peter was among the first to run. In fact, he started running, but there was a younger guy. If he ran faster than Peter, according to the scriptures. But he was afraid to enter, I believe. And Peter entered the tomb and all of that. But see, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" And Bible, you know, it goes on like three times. "If you love me, feed my..." Peter said, "I love you, Lord, you know." Jesus said, "Feed my lamb." He asked a second time again. Peter said, "I love you." Jesus said, "Well, tend my sheep." And the third time, Peter got a bit, "Oh, why?" You know? And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." But here, two things I want you to remember. Jesus, in the Greek, Jesus was using agapeo. Do you agapeo me? Peter was using phileo. Phileo is a brotherly love. Agapeo is the God kind of love. Now, why three times? Well, the commentaries I've read and my own thinking on this tells me that the deniers, right, the three times, I think it's to affirm him that, look, you are still the Peter, the one that I have called. God affirmed him, Jesus affirmed him, restored him. And also commissioned him again, the same word, follow me. He used the same word again. And we know what happens to Peter after he was restored. In Acts chapter 2, we saw that when the Holy Ghost came on them, he stood up and spoke. 3,000 people were added to the church. We have 1 Peter, 2 Peter as a book that he has written through the Holy Spirit. Brothers, we cannot outlove God. We cannot outlove God. We only love because he first loved us. Maybe your life is like this. Maybe you are like this. Like Peter. Today you are up. Tomorrow you are down. You are up. You are down. Up. You are down. But I want to encourage you. Psalm 139 says, the Lord have hedged me before and behind, and he's placed his hand over me. Continue to keep in the ark. Continue to remain in him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I recognize my own doubts, questions, and often unfaithfulness, certainties. I recognize moments where I thought I have faith enough only to realize that, oh, wow. But through it all, Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You've been faithful, Lord. And so, Lord God, we just want to pray, God, that even in all these ups and downs, Lord, we will continue to draw near to you, just like Peter did, Lord. We pray for my brothers and my sisters, anybody that feeling down and feeling very lonely and feeling like they've disappointed you. I pray that this message will encourage them, that your arms are open and you are always pouring out on us. We can trust you. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.